This is the Doug Marrone Show.
The Doug Marrone Show.
Former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman and J.P. Shadrick discuss the latest Jaguars news with the head coach. The Doug Marrone Show starts right now.
Welcome into the Doug Marrone Show. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, head coach Doug Marrone. What's up, coach?
I'm doing well, J.P.
Week 17. Today, and we're going to get to this game coming up. Yes, I know you're focused on winning this football game, but seats were released for the playoff game here at Everbank Field, so an extra 3,000 and change in the upper deck will be released. So there's Jaguars fever right now.
More noise.
It's awesome.
That's how I look at it. I'm fired up. I heard about it late, didn't really know what was going on, obviously, because we're focused on the game this week. And then, someone had said that, and I'm like, whew. How awesome is that? I mean, to get some more of our fans that are going to be able to help our team, and make no mistake about it, having been in the playoffs, a couple of years myself, when New York and New Orleans, and, feeling the advantage that you have either when you're at home or the disadvantage that you have, more importantly, when you're on the road, is outstanding. And I'm just happy and excited for – for the fans that we were able to put ourselves in position to be playing in the postseason. Obviously this team has worked hard, the organization has worked hard, but again, I think there's a sense of, and I always go back to the same thing that I've talked about in the beginning. I feel like I can relate, to the pain of people, prior to when you're in an organization or you're at a team or you're at a college. When I was, obviously the head coach of Syracuse, where you haven't won for a long period of time. And, the sense of, there's a loyalty about it. But then there's a sense of, ridicule if you're not playing well, to wearing, your gear or being able, or the water cooler on Monday and things of that nature. So, truly for me, obviously it's really more than a job. I don't want to say that, but I'm just happy that, we're focused on this week, but I'm happy for our fans that they're able to, at some point be able to walk through an airport and say, hey, we're AFC South champions.
And they get to wear the Jaguars gear proudly.
Yes.
It's the way
exactly,
it is.
Exactly. It is the way it is. And everyone's worked very hard for it. But, at the same point, I credit a lot, obviously, to the players and the coaches and the organization. But I also give a lot of credit to the fans, especially the ones that have stuck with it, through thick and thin. And the ones that are coming on now, I'm fine with, too. We're excited and make no mistake about it. And I was happy, early in the year, I don't know if anyone, I'm sure you guys remember, it was like, what can this team do to do a better job at home, win home games and trying to earn the respect of the fans and that nature. And, really, if you look at us at home outside of the first, really the one game, it was in London. Mm-hmm. Okay, yep. Which is a home game, but we wound up 6-2 at home. So when you look at our football team and where we are now, and you say, "Hey, does that team have a home field advantage?" Absolutely, and that's a credit to our fans. It really is.
So all right, so we'll get to that game, of course, next week. Business to attend to this week. You are 100% all in on winning this football game. And I know you've said this in the press conference earlier this week. You're catching some flack from people in Middle Tennessee, right? I mean, Boots Donnelly's probably ringing your phone off right now, right?
Well, he calls me every week.
Well, wait a minute. You got to tell people who Boots Donnelly is.
Yeah. Well, my father-in-law was a obviously, my wife's from Nashville. Whole family's from Nashville. My wife's mom comes from a family of 15. Children, which obviously a wow. Catholic family, so everyone has 6 to 9 children, in that family, and they're great people. But anyway, long story short, my father-in-law is a, people always say, hey, how do you get along with Coach Coughlin? I said, well, I've had a lot of experience because I was with my father-in-law, who's, been a head coach at, won a title at Austin Peay, won the title, OVC titles at Middle Tennessee State, is in the College Football Hall of Fame. And he's someone that early on in my career that I relied on quite a bit, to gain experience and things of that nature. And he's helped me quite a bit. He really has, as well as, like, and now, obviously how much Coach Coughlin has helped me. So, you know, I'm always willing to learn. But, you know, he'll call and he'll, you know, so we had a great conversation this week. You know, he's, you know, we go through the last game, you know, you got to get this team ready. What are you doing? You're not doing a good job. They didn't play well, you know. So I get that. That's pretty much how it is, you know, during the week. And then all of a sudden, the end of the conversation goes, you know, this is a big game this week. You know, I've got a lot of pressure on this game. And I said, what do you mean? He's like, well, there's a lot of pressure now. I'm expecting us to go out and win this football game. I said, wait a minute. Do you think there's more pressure on you right now to win this game than there is on me? And he's like, hell yeah, there's a whole lot more pressure on me right now. I live in Tennessee. So I get that from him, and I get it home from my wife.
Right. Both ends.
So Boots Donnelly, is Boots a given name, or is that a nickname that just kind of has stuck?
I do know this story. It's I think when he was young, someone couldn't, you know, say anything, and they called him Boots, but it's Boots Donnelly. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And like I said before, I mean, here's the greatest story. I'm going to go off track here a little bit, but this is a great story.
Love this.
So my son Max is a freshman, you know, in high school. A couple of years ago, you know, he's like, hey, Dad, do you ever think, you know, so it's always like, you know, who's a better coach? You know, is Granddad a better coach than you, right? So I'm like, well, you know, Mac, I don't know. I mean, you know, Granddad has a lot of great accomplishments. He's like, Dad, do you ever think you'll be in the College Football Hall of Fame for coaching? No. He's like, you know, Granddad's in the College Football Hall of Fame. I said, okay, you're right. You know, but I coach in the NFL now, right? Dad, do you ever think you'd be in the NFL Hall of Fame? No, I don't think I'm going to be in the NFL Football Hall of Fame. I would hope to, but, I mean, just because we would win, but not for me personally. You know, and then the next one is this one. Do you think they'll ever have a statue of you like they do of Granddad in front of the stadium? I go, I can guarantee you there will not be a statue of Doug Marrone in front of any stadium. So basically my son's like, oh, so Granddad's a much better coach than you are, Dad. I'm like, pretty much. Pretty much.
How old is your son?
He's a freshman in high school.
All right, so you talked about how you talk about games with Boots.
Mm-hmm.
Does he subscribe to the NFL All 22, and does he watch?
Oh, he watches that? All the games. Absolutely. Yeah. He'll always, it's the same thing, and it's very old school, but I'll tell you what, the greatest advice ever when I was when I left the New Orleans Saints and became the head coach at Syracuse, and we're getting ready, and the first thing he says to me, and this was really great advice, he said, the one thing you got to make sure is you do enough tackling drills. You know, you want to make sure that you have a good tackling football team that's going to help you, you know, go on. And he just kept, and he would come out to practices and he would go around and he would say, hey, you got to do a better job of this, a better job of that. And you know, I'm one of those, I'm the type of person that if I feel that someone can help me get, well, first of all, this is the great part. Obviously, my father-in-law's only interest is for us to win and to make me a better football coach. There's no hidden agenda. So everything he's telling me, I listen, you know, and take in. And really, I'm not comparing the two against each other, but it's really the same situation I have with Coach Coughlin. You know, he's attention to detail. He watches everything, does everything, and it's the same type of thing. So – and I want that, you know, I want that because, you know, I believe that I can still get better, you know what I'm saying, as a coach, and I can coach this team better. And the more people that have had experience, that have been successful, that can help me, that people that I believe in, that do not have any other agenda than outside of me being successful or this team being successful, you know, I just really appreciate that at the end of the day.
We're going to come back. You won the division, but now you have to own the division. We'll get into the Tennessee Titans when we return. This is the Doug Marrone Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Doug Marrone Show continues right now.
We're back. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, head coach Doug Marrone. The Doug Marrone Show. The Jags and the Titans coming up week 17, Nissan Stadium, Nashville. 4:25 kickoff.
Beautiful thing. Yes, beautiful sir. Thing. And, you know, Doug, a lot of people, you know, kind of went back and forth. You know, you talked to people like, hey, the Jags are going to play the win. How long did it take you, or did he, was it even a thought about the approach to a game this week against a division opponent?
No, I think, you know, when I look at our team and what we need, and again, it goes back to our team. So it wasn't anything going on the outside. I just thought for our team, this is what the best thing, you know, for us to do was to go out there and play this game. And I had gotten a lot of questions during the week, you know, from the media and things of that nature. Well, if it wasn't a division opponent, if it wasn't someone that you could possibly play. And I said, you know what, guys, it really had nothing to do with that. It had more to do with what's best for our football team and what we need to do, you know, heading into this postseason.
It's important to have something go, have a little momentum and get something going into that postseason, right?
Well, I think that goes back, you know, JP, to the same thing I was saying before. I think a lot of people have an opinion on, you know, hey, it's momentum, it's this and that. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, I really think it's just the best thing for our team. Okay. You know what I'm saying? To go and play go to play this game, go to play to win. I've always thought that was, you know, extremely important. And I just think it's, you know, it's best for our team. And it was great because, you know, when we had these discussions, you know, myself, Coach Coughlin, Dave Caldwell, you know, when I say the discussion, you know, hey, what do we, you know, what's going on next week? And it wasn't even like it was a discussion really of, hey, well, these are the opportunities that you may have. And, you know, hey, other teams do this or this do that. We were all on the same page of what's best for our football team to go out there and play extremely hard, have a good performance, and play to win the game.
You ask a guy like A.J. Boye in the locker room, he's like, it wouldn't have mattered what Doug said. I mean, we're going to go play the football game. We're paid to play 16 games a season. That's kind of the mindset in there.
I think as a competitor, if you're a player, I mean, you know, it's even like people tend to look, and I'm going to go back to the preseason. They go, well, you know, it's the preseason. It's important now. Those players that are on that field is extremely important. And and I always say this. This is my introduction to the NFL when my first year or my first couple of years coaching in the NFL. Hey, listen, the preseason really doesn't mean anything. You know, we got to find out who the players are, this and that, and everything like that. So, hey, we're just going to go out there and let's figure out, you know, who's going to make this team and let's go on. First preseason game, we go out there and it's whatever, 16-13, we don't win. Hey, you know what? That's no problem. Hey, let's get a good week of practice in. Let's go play this next preseason game. Hey, look, you know what? Hey, the second preseason game, it'd be pretty good if we can win this game. You know, you go out, you don't win that game. Third preseason game comes, all of a sudden it's like, hey, this is the head coach management. Hey, we got to win this game. Wait a minute now. You know what I'm saying? The first couple of weeks, it didn't mean anything. Now, all of a sudden, they mean anything. And I believe, and when I worked for Herm Edwards, you know, in New York, and I believe this, and I truly do, and it hit me, if it doesn't mean anything, then let's not keep score. The minute you put a scoreboard and someone is going to be, at the end of the day, someone's going to win and someone's going to lose, then you got to play to win. And I'm not a golfer. I'm not. I might have golfed maybe 16 times in my life, okay, only because 15 out of the 16 I had to.
Yeah.
Maybe one time I went out there and thought maybe I'd like it, and I don't. But, you know, if I go out there, I don't keep score because I don't want to be in – because I get so competitive, I'd be so – I'm the only person that can play golf and hate myself at the end of the day.
Frustrating. Sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I think of football the same thing, and I think of everything, you know, as that. If you're going to keep scoring, someone's going to win or lose, you better go out there and try to win. And that's just how I feel.
What did Herm say? You play to win the game.
The game.
Right?
Yeah, he's got a pretty famous quote.
Yeah. I was there that day. It was interesting. He was downstairs doing a press conference. We were upstairs, and he came up, and he goes, can you believe they asked me? And I was like, no, he's like, you know, and he was all fired up, and that's how Herm is. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, you know, it's funny because now when they show that, you know, I could always say, yeah, I was there for that day.
Well, with the Titans football team, it's been a long time since you played them. I mean, heck, week two?
Week two.
And it was here. And, in fact, you guys had the lead 3-0, and they were able to put together offensively, you know, 6 scoring drives as a football team. You guys ended up losing that game. And just from a fan standpoint, a lot of people would ask, and from a you know, even an analyst standpoint, how much do you go back and relate to that game because it's so far removed from where you are now and where they are now?
Well, I think you pick – I know for me personally, I'll pick pieces of that game to talk about to motivate our players, obviously, because we came – you know, we didn't play well that game. You know, we had the 3 turnovers. We gave up a big punt return. You know, there are things of that nature that had gone on that, you know, you want to use to motivate your team. But – you know, we feel, you know, that at least I can't speak for Tennessee, but, you know, we feel we're a different team. You know, we really do. And we've got to go out there and prove it. You know, they beat us. That's it. You can't change that. So when you come across the team the second time around, you know, then, you know, you've got to go out there and prove that you're better than you were the first time you played them. So that's a challenge for our football team, you know, going up to Tennessee.
We'll come back. We'll get into the Jags' defense against Marcus Mariota and exotic Smash Mouth football. This is the Doug Marrone Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Doug Marrone Show continues right now.
JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, head coach Doug Marrone, Jags, Titans. Coming up Sunday, Nissan Stadium, Nashville, Tennessee, Music City, USA. The second meeting, part 2 from Jags, Titans. Jags defense, 44 points on the board last week. 7 of those on a pick 6. A couple of short fields on the turnovers and all that. But this is a prideful group. This is a group that when they give up that kind of yardage, that kind of points in a game, you know, coach, that they're going to be primed and ready to go this week to prove that was just 1 week, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're competitors, you know. I mean, they compete, and, you know, that's not, you know, they want to get that bad taste out of their mouth, but, you know, San Francisco was our last game, and there were different challenges there, and there'll be different challenges this week, and we have to, you know, be prepared. And you know, it was interesting. You know, we came back from the West Coast, so we kind of adjusted our schedule on Wednesday for the players. And then today we had I thought we had an excellent practice. I thought the players were in tune. They were focused. They were fast. So, you know, that to me, that's what you look for as a coach. And, you know, it doesn't surprise me. Our team has come back and have done a good job. And it's bounced back well. And, you know, now it's a matter of going out there and performing on Sunday and keep kind of all the other noise away. When I say other noise, meaning, you know, hey, you're going to be playing the following week.
When you're 4-0 following a loss, by the way. So, I mean, you guys have played very well, scoring points and doing things well. So you bounce back well. Sorry to interrupt you, Jeff.
No, but my question is that, you know, a lot of people think that every team runs their stuff. But when you face an opponent like you did last week in San Francisco 49ers, who many people view that Kyle Shanahan is a bright offensive mind, a lot of people don't understand that a concept that may have worked against your defense last week in San Francisco, would the Titans insert the same thing or make sure that what that part of their playbook is active for that game this week to make sure that you have it cleaned up?
Well, one of the things that we do is exactly what you said, Jeff, is that if something has worked or been successful against you in any of the 3 phases, offensive, defensive, special teams, then, you know, we have to make sure whether we as coaches have to change schematically what we're doing or how we're playing something, or 2, we have to execute and communicate better. And the one thing that we always take a lot of pride in is that when those things happen, I do believe that people will test you to make sure that you have corrected this or you have, you know, gone over this. So we put a lot of emphasis on the things that maybe we didn't execute it well, or maybe we wanted a different call or whatever it may be. You know, we're going to come back that week, make sure that gets corrected, make sure everyone understands what's going on, and then move forward. And I think, you know, a lot of times we'll look at tape and we'll say, hey, listen, this has hurt this team and they've struggled with this a little bit. And, you know, we're going to test them to see if they made the adjustments they needed to do to, you know, defend those plays or scheme that they're doing.
And you watching the film from last week's game, Tennessee at home against the Rams, it seemed like a lot of Todd Gurley worked.
There's a lot of things that go out in the league. You know, we watch a lot of tape on a lot of other teams, even though, you know, we may not be playing those teams of either to get ideas or just to see what's going on. Because you want to stay on top of what's – that's the other thing. You know, your game plan against the opponent, and then there comes a time later in the week where you want to go out and say, hey, listen, I heard this team's doing really well in the red zone. Or this team, you know, is doing really well in special teams in this phase. So you want to be able to go at the end of the week and look at that to see if they're doing something that maybe could come up, and you want to be ahead of the game so you don't have to learn by, you know, having someone do it against you and seeing it. So that's a big part of what we do. So, you know, we're constantly looking at that and seeing where, you know, we can help ourselves and get better.
Derrick Henry, handful to bring down, isn't he?
Handful to bring down, you know. Murray's a handful to bring down. I think this is the best offensive line that we'll see all year, you know, up to date, you know, up to now. I think, you know, I give them a lot of credit. You know, they're a very talented team. They're a very good special teams unit. I thought they've got after the Rams well in that phase of it. And defensively, their front seven is extremely good against the run. They can put pressure on your quarterback, and obviously they can play man coverage, and they have a guy like, you know, a coach like Dick LeBeau, who I have the utmost respect for.
Well, to go back to the offense, Delanie Walker, I mean, talk about a guy who just was his career was in obscurity in San Francisco, and then goes to the Titans, and he's been able to compile some tremendous numbers. Great football player. And this is a guy that, you know, turning on the tape last week, he got a 3rd and 6 critical moment of the game, 4th and 6 late in the game also, where it's 4th and game, they've got to convert that 4th down to be able to have a chance to win the game. He's the primary target. I mean, that's an impressive thing, having a tight end to have that kind of respect and also role in an offense.
Well, that, and you know, one thing about the tight end, they can move him around, you know, quite a bit and put him in different situations and put him in different matchups and put him wherever they may need him on the field, whether it's running the corner routes or whether attacking the middle of the field, or, you know, obviously in the red zone where he's a big target. But I think, you know, one of the things that, you know, the young wide receiver is really starting to come on. He was injured last week, came back and had his best game. And then the other person, you know, is Decker now, is really becoming more targeted. So what happens is if it's just one player, then you can do a little bit more defensively to try to take that player out of the game. But when you see, you know, Decker's increased in targets and the young receiver playing well, you know, Matthews is another good receiver, a good possession receiver, very good verse zone. You know, he's a very high, you know, a high targeted player for him. Now it's kind of, you know, pick your poison. You know, do you want to take this player out? Do you want to take that player out? Or do you say to yourself, okay, hey, listen, we feel we can match up well with this player, you know, player A on their player. And I think those are the things that go on during the week where I think people, you might not see that on television if you're not truly looking for it, but, you know, it's something I obviously got to be aware of. And Delanie Walker, I mean, is an outstanding football player.
To go to the defensive side of the ball, the guy who really jumped out of the tape, and he's, you know, it's no surprise, Jarrell Casey, 3-time Pro Bowler this year, he makes the Pro Bowl again. And against the Rams, he was causing some serious problems. He's a guy that your guys up front are going to have to contend with because he brings it.
He does. I mean, you know, he's an outstanding football player, obviously, you know, and the league recognizes that by being voted for the Pro Bowl. And, you know, some guys get voted for the Pro Bowl, you sit there yourself and you're like, you know, I don't really know. But he's one that really does deserve it. I mean, he's an outstanding football player. Unfortunately, we play him twice a year, so we get to see him, you know, and it's a great challenge for our guys up front. But, you know, the rest of that defense pretty darn good, you know, especially in the front seven. So it's going to be a great challenge for us, and we're going to have to make sure that we know where he is. And again, you know, it's a great challenge schematically too, especially when you get to third down.
Late season game, weather, cold, maybe a chance of snow.
I like it.
Ball might be a little bit wet.
I like
special
it.
Teams
have been
part
it's
of
a
it.
Duck
yeah.
Game. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we went today and, you know, we cranked it up, you know, the cold weather, and, you know, opened the side doors for the first time of our indoor, and had the wind, you know, whipping through there. And, you know, but I think in my mind when I shut my eyes and I think about, you know, playing, you know, in the NFL late in the season, that's what I envision. And, you know, that's how we tried to build this team, you know, a team that can go and endure those type of elements and, you know, win those types of games, you know, going on the road, whether it be up in, you know, up in the north or, you know, even just going a little bit north to Tennessee where the weather's going to be that way. So, you know, we feel comfortable with it.
Well, I hope you make the other side of the family upset on Sunday.
Oh, I'm fine. I mean, I never like to bring it about myself, but, like, all of a sudden, like, when you go home and, you know, everyone's like, hey, you better win. You know, it's like, you know, hey, we've got to win this week. Turns into you better win this week. That's where you know the shift, you know, has come in. And I just, you know, I'm just amazed that I come home and that's – or, you know, my kids are on the phone or my – and they say that to me. I mean, I'm that way every week. It just blows me away. It just blows me away. But I get it, I guess. I don't know.
Happy New Year, Doug.
Happy New Year.
Coach Doug Marrone with us. This is the Doug Marrone Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Doug Marrone Show continues right now.
Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Doug Marrone out of here. The Doug Marrone Show continues. Jags Titans coming up Sunday, Nissan Stadium, Nashville, New Year's Eve, 4:25 Eastern Time kick.
It's going to be exciting just because, I mean, there's so many games that are going on at 4:25.
They moved the schedule around, kind of like Premier League soccer, so everybody's in the same two windows, so games that have implications with other games are played at the same exact time. Which is cool.
Nine games at 4:25. Which I think is a good thing. Look, I mean, it's going to make every game kind of intriguing on its own, you know, with an occasional glance to the scoreboard, you know, by people. Obviously, teams like Buffalo and the Chargers, I'm not calling them by their city's name anymore because I always screw that up.
The Chargers.
But the Chargers, Buffalo, you know, Baltimore, I mean, you know, seeing kind of what happens in those games, obviously, and we'll be taking a peek at it. Just because, you know, we'll be obviously watching the game that's in front of us and then taking a peek at what the scores are of the other game to see, you know, who is going to, in fact, be the opponent. But then these other teams, I mean, are going to be taking a peek to see, you know, do they got a chance?
Right.
Yeah, sure. No, it's exciting. You know, I think the league did a good thing by not having anything on Sunday night. You know, it's just – there's no game that stands alone without other games, you know, you could have a game that was meaningless,
right. Sure.
and you don't want to have that.
Yeah, so they did a good thing with that. Isn't it such a good feeling to not have to truly worry about those scores? You know,
I will say this, JP, it's a great feeling and it's a great accomplishment, you know, and not taking anything away from an AFC South title, which, look, it's never been done. You know, AFC Central's been done, but that's going all the way back to 1999. But I think if you're, you know, a player and a coach in this league to win a division title, but to get, you know, swept by an opponent, that would kind of, you know, that just doesn't sit well, you know. So I think that right there, I mean, should be enough motivation for anybody, you know, in this football game that's wearing teal, that you want to beat Tennessee at their place. Two reasons. One, you're the division champs, okay? And they beat you earlier in the year. Number two is to knock their rear ends out of the playoffs. Give them another goodbye, you know, gift like you did last year when the Jaguars knocked them out of the playoffs. You know, so You know, and it continues to be, and I know a lot of these players have no idea, but it continues to be retribution to 1999.
Yeah, so Mercedes Lewis was 15 years old when that game was played, the mm-hmm. AFC Championship game in 90, after the 99 season. 15. So none of these players, they might have watched it on TV when they were kids, but he's the oldest guy on the team.
And they probably have no recollection whatsoever.
Right. He told me today on a podcast, he was in second grade,
mm-hmm.
7 years old.
That's right.
You know,
but it's for Jaguars fans that have, been there from the beginning, and talked to some of them on Monday night, this game means something because it's Tennessee, and it should mean something because it's Tennessee, because it's a division opponent. Owning the division, winning the division is always paramount. You've won the division, but there's a difference between winning the division and winning the division.
Jarrell Casey had some comments this week kind of to that effect from the Tennessee locker room that, hey, they think they're the kings of the South, and the Jags, we could beat those guys twice and they can still be division champs. Well, the shirts and hats are still here, Jarrell, but still, that's the point he's making. You got to go beat these guys.
Well, and it's going to be an interesting game because, here's the thing. A lot of people look at it like Tennessee is, and the other analysts that I have read this week in their commentary on this game and the matchup. Well, Jacksonville's not playing for anything. Tennessee's going to win. Well, wait a minute. All the pressure in this ball game is on Tennessee. You've got a team that's trying to get into the playoffs. You've got a coach who's, has 1 year left on his contract in Mike Mularkey, who they haven't been able to meet, the expectations, I think, of what, they were expecting to accomplish. So there's a lot of pressure on that organization. To win and you're in, it's an exciting moment, but there comes a lot of pressure with a game like that. So, the Jaguars should be going in there saying, hey, we're coming in to win a football game. Okay, the Titans are going in there saying, we need to win a football game to get in the playoffs, to save our season, because if we don't win, our season is viewed as a failure. Because you would absolutely view it at that. Because of where they were and where they are now,
no doubt.
To be outside looking in and have squandered their opportunity, that's a lot riding on this game for them.
Yeah, Mike Mularkey was already taking heat in the national media early in this losing streak, and that would certainly continue if they lose to the Jags. We'll come back. A little defensive talk. And a little composure talk. They lost a little of that in San Francisco last week. This is the Doug Marone Show on Jaguars Radio.
Obviously, I do like the pressure. Being a D-line coach, I want to hit the quarterback as much as we possibly can. But at the same time, I don't ever want to take away from or put guys in a bad position. There was one this week. I call them man-free pressure, and they ran away from Jalen. That's tough coverage, and there's not much you can do if the blitz doesn't get there. So, there's a situation. You don't want to put guys in bad positions, obviously, and we have a pretty good front four that can rush. So if you can sit there and drop seven and rush four and be able to get to the quarterback, well, that's the best-case scenario for us. But, we have a big blitz package. We have at least seven or eight up each week. We just haven't been using them.
There's Todd Wash. On the J.P. Shadrick podcast earlier today, and you'll hear more from the defensive coordinator on the Public's Tailgate Show coming up this Sunday in Jacksonville on 1010XL Radio.
He's a really good football coach, and, obviously he's done a great job this year. A lot of people look at this defense and say, boy, they got a lot of talent, but you know what? There's a lot of teams that have talent, and a coordinator's got to be able to kind of pull them all together. And I think he's done a good job with that. Despite what people saw on the sideline, this defense is still together.
Yeah.
Okay, let's not, make something more out of it, But I would probably be more concerned if there was no reaction on the Jaguar sideline.
If they just flopped on the deck and called it a day.
Well,
that's bad, yeah. And didn't have a – Yeah,
you want them to be angry.
Yeah, sure.
You want to have a little bit of tension. If there's tension when there are highly competitive individuals, when there's not tension, you don't have enough competitive individuals. So that's a good thing, and that will all be straightened out. The one thing that definitely has to be straightened out is some of the mistakes that happened on the field that resulted in the taunting and the personal fouls.
Well, as Doug said, Doug Marrone earlier this week, I'm okay with the sideline stuff. That happens on every team, winning teams, losing teams, training camp, practice, locker room. That happens on every football team at every level. There's stuff like that on the side. Now, when it comes between the lines and it hurts the football team moving the ball down the field 30 yards in a drive, that's when it's not good.
Yeah, and I said, you know, earlier in the week that, you know, some of these calls were very, you know, quick triggers, and I still believe that. But here's the reality. You can't give the officials an opportunity to have a quick trigger, you know, especially in games that have meaning. Right. You know, and that game against the 49ers had meaning, you know, and because it was, you know, obviously – an opportunity to continue your hope for a number one or a number two seed in that game. You know, so, and look, even this game that doesn't have any meaning, you can't have that happen. You know, so, and then the, kind of the two of them together kind of gives you a little bit of a bad feel from that game, you know, just because you had the sideline things and then you had the on-the-field things. But I think this defense will be fine. I think that they have a great veteran presence with this defense, with, you know, Paws at middle linebacker. Telvin Smith is a great leader. Barry Church, Calais, you know, I mean, these guys are all leaders now. And you always have your greatest leadership when the leadership comes from the players, to where the coaches may say something, but it's already been addressed from the players. And I kind of get that feeling that this group is that is special that way, and they have that.
Yeah, for Todd Wash, going back to the beginning of this segment here about Todd Wash getting this defense, and he has talent, all that, it's a lot of strong personalities to manage as well.
Sure.
I mean, especially on the back end of the defense with the secondary.
Well, look, corners should have strong personalities. I mean, that's the way they are. I mean, look at the strong personalities in New York for the Giants. They all three got suspended. They're probably a little bit too strong.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying that corners are divas, you know, but like wide receivers, you know, used to have that kind of that term applied to him, you know, but also the question that you had asked him about blitzing more. That's a great question. In the perfect world of NFL football, you always want to rush four and then drop seven into coverage because you have so much flexibility on what you can do in the back end as far as matchups and doubling guys or whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. And this week, I don't see them blitzing a whole lot.
Against Mariota.
I don't see a ton of it. I mean, you might see a little bit of it. But the one thing that's going to be challenging is rushing four against the Titans. They've got a really good offensive line. Now, their tackles are, you know, are probably the two best tackles in the game. Taylor Lewan, Jack Conklin is the right tackle. Taylor Lewan is the left tackle. Excellent players. Taylor Lewan is a Pro Bowl player. Conklin, I think, is an alternate. In my opinion, he should be a starter at right tackle. I think he's the best combination of run and pass blocking right tackle in the league. The interior guys are solid. So this is a great challenge for this defensive front this week, and one that the Titans won last time. And let me just add one thing that I'm looking forward to watching.
Yes.
Because in the first matchup in week two, the Jaguars were expecting the Titans to run the ball a ton, and they adjusted a certain way with their defensive front. Will they do it again this week? And I'll tell you what I was talking about after the break.
Oh, that's a tease.
That's a tease,
in
right?
The business, that's what we
well,
call
Well, you're the
that.
Radio guy. You know, radio voice, radio guy.
Radio face.
There's a tease for you. How about
Thanks.
That?
Appreciate that. This is the Doug Marrone Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
We already know we playing. We already had in our mind that we was playing no matter what happened. We was trying to fight for the that two seed. That didn't happen, but we already had in our mind we was going to play the way it go. They're a great team. They're in our way just like we're in their way. It's do or die for them, but at the same time, this is a great opportunity for us to see where we at going into the playoffs. So we got to take advantage of it. It's going to be a playoff atmosphere. They're going to give us our best shot. We're going to give them our best shot the same, so we're looking forward to it.
AJ Boye in the locker room this week discussing the approach to the Titans matchup, Week 17.
Playoff football before you get into the playoffs, really. Because, I mean, it's playoff football for the Tennessee Titans. And, you know, and I'm not saying that, you know, that for the Jaguars it would be a true playoff game as far as elimination. But to get a, you know, as close to an experience as you can to the playoffs without being in the playoffs. I mean, this is for a young team. It's awesome.
It's great.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I, you know, and to get back to kind of what I was talking about earlier, in the week two matchup against Tennessee, they approached Tennessee with great respect because Tennessee obviously has, you know, very good running game, and many people expected them to come out and just run the ball. Mm-hmm. And the Jaguars did something defensively that they really haven't done, you know, since. Because Tennessee, when they came out and the Jaguars are expecting them to run the ball, Yannick Ngakoue and Dante Fowler are considered kind of the weak side ends. Okay, so Calais is a strong side end. Dante and Yannick are the weak side ends. And which side they're on depends upon what the defensive call is and then also what's the open side of the formation, et cetera. The Jaguars actually had Avery Jones playing as a defensive end in that game. And then Ngakoue and Dante Fowler weren't on the field in some regular base defensive packages. And it's not a surprise to see the Jaguars' defense do something like that when you get to what is called a four-minute defense. In other words, the opponent has the lead. They're trying to run the ball, you know, move the chains, eat up the game clock, and you want to get your big guys out there because they're going to run the ball every time. But for the Jaguars to take that approach early in that game against the Tennessee Titans was kind of surprising. And it really didn't work. So will you try to do that again? Or will you leave your guys, okay, Yannick and Dante, on the field to face that Titans offensive line? And I think that's going to be very interesting to see how they approach that. Because the Titans, you know they're going to come out and run the football. I don't care if DeMarco Murray is not playing or not.
No, not at all. It doesn't matter.
And here's the thing. The Titans might be better without DeMarco Murray on the field. And people say, well, why would you say that? Well, here's the thing. DeMarco Murray is not averaging what the big back Derrick Henry is getting. And the other facet is, because when DeMarco Murray is on the field, they have a lot of plays that are designed for him to be the receiver. I mean, over the last 2 years, DeMarco Murray's caught like 92 balls. Well, if you're throwing the ball to a running back for about an 8 yard, 7 yard, you know, per catch average, why would you want to be throwing it to a tight end, you know, like Delanie Walker, who's averaging more than that, or to a young, talented wide receiver in Corey Davis that certainly gets more yards than 7 yards a catch, or to Rishard Matthews, who's averaging 15 yards a catch, or to Eric Decker, who is a better receiver down the field and is likely to get more yards. Mm-hmm. You know, so you see my point?
Yeah.
And so, so the Titans might be better off, you know, because Derrick Henry's a better back. The only thing they lose is the back out of the backfield, but you don't need a back out of the backfield if you've got enough talent everywhere else, and the Titans have enough talent elsewhere.
Might force them to throw it to other guys on the football team.
Maybe.
For sure. Hey, we'll come back. We'll get into the last day of this week. The Jags on the field again tomorrow, and then they're on the road to Tennessee. This is the Doug Marone Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Doug Marone Show continues right now.
Final moments of the Doug Marone Show. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, joined now by Tony Boselli, proud of the Jaguars' left tackle. Jaguars Thursday is coming up for our folks in Jacksonville and our flagship station, 1010XL. Also, Jaguars.com, the Jags app, Jags social media. Another hour with Big Bo.
What's up?
You know, Jags, Titans, that's what's up. New Year's Eve, Nashville.
For a game that doesn't technically mean anything.
Oh, we just got done talking
about it. It is
about
such
this.
A big game for this team.
It's got meaning.
I think it is so big. I think it is so important for multiple reasons. The division, I mean, you're division champs, but Tennessee came in here and beat your rear ends pretty good. You want to send them home. You don't want to play them again in the playoffs, I don't think. And you're coming off a bad loss. And I think you're coming off a stretch of games, if you look at it, defensively at least, where you haven't played very well. You know, Arizona, some major issues, breakdowns. Mm-hmm. Then you played a terrible Indianapolis team. To me, doesn't mean much. No, it's a win, so you take them. And then you have a game in Seattle. You didn't play very well defensively.
Well, big plays.
Well, but that's, yeah. But just, you gave a bunch of points.
Yeah, the big plays you gave up.
And then you play a Houston team that's terrible, didn't mean anything. And then you go and play against another decent team, and they took it to you pretty good. Scored a bunch of points.
Jimmy G, he's good now.
He's a very good player. So I think this is a big game for a lot of reasons going into the playoffs.
For those on our flagship station, stick around on 1010XL. Jaguars Thursday is coming up. Another hour. Tony Buscelli, Jeff Loggeman, J.P. Shadrick, thanks for listening to the Doug Marone Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.